Let us all say amen. Amen. I don't know about you. That song there helps me on this time side of life to know no matter what transpires in my life, amidst the trials and the tribulations I may face, I have a place prepared for me, eternal in the heavens. Amen. And that's why I do what I do, because God has made me a promise. And in that promise, he says, love not the things of the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. It's good to see each and every one of you this morning. You know, it's just hard not to get up here and start shouting. Because he's been good to me. I don't know what he's done for you. He's been good to me. Woke me up to a brand new day. And then he says, now I want you to prepare yourself to say something to my people that they may understand who I am and what I have called them to do. And so as I've been looking at this text for the past few weeks in Galatians chapter 6, there's so much stuff in here that, boy, I mean, you talk about piggyback off of somebody else. And if you didn't make it to the three-day meeting we had, boy, you really missed a treat. You really did. I mean, Brother Bill talked about an opportunity. And if you have a question, ask him what opportunity means. That's right. I'm going to pull on that because it's in the midst of what goes on in your life that the opportunity to help someone else is our job, our responsibility. And so as we look at this text this morning, I want to give you a title. You ever felt faint? Or do you feel faint? And you know, when you, from a physical sense, when you feel faint, hopefully somebody got some smelling sauce to kind of stimulate you back to reality. How many of y'all might feel faint or do you feel faint spiritually right now? I brought some smelling sauce with me this morning. And if you just allow me to just let you smell a little bit of it, I can show you how to have a much better life on this time side of life. See, Paul in this lesson text here writes these words to the believer. And he writes them to encourage their hearts, to encourage the church. But at the same time, he sends a warning to the church in this same passage of Scripture. The warning to the church is don't get weary. Don't give up. Don't allow your Satan to cause you to faint. The edification to the church is that if you hold to God's unchanging hand, he's got something for you. And I don't know, when you tell me you got something for me, I can't wait to see you to get what you got. Come on, y'all. That's right. And he has something for each and every one of us in his time, in due season. And so as Paul writes these words, he encouraged the believer to maintain good works, a good relationship with your God, and to keep yourself unspotted from this world. Paul here writes these words to encourage the believer and to remind the believer that it is the good works that you do, that when time comes for you to go to the other side, you won't have to worry about whether or not you're going to make it.
That's right.
Amen. When I leave sometime to go to Los Angeles, I don't know if I'm going to make it. That's why I pray going, pray while I'm in the midst, and pray before I get there, and pray while I'm there. Because you just never know. But in this text here, Paul encourages the believer to maintain good works, a good relationship in your relationship to your God. In Titus chapter 3 and round about verse number 8, Paul writes these same words to this young gospel preacher. In Titus chapter 1, he says, for this cause I've left thee in Crete, that thou might set in order the things that are wanting. Paul reminds Titus that I've left you here in this ungodly place. And the reason I've left you there is because you're the light. That's right. Titus, you're the one that can help these folks see that Jesus is the Son of God. And so I've left you there. And the reason I've left you there is that you might set in order the things that are wanting. I want you to ordain elders in every church. Help individuals to see the power of God in our everyday life. And so Titus chapter 3 and verse number 8, Titus would say, this is a faithful saying. And these things I will that you confirm continuously, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Paul tell Titus, you need to encourage those that believe that God is who he say he is. You need to encourage them and remind them, do what God requires of you. And then in the same breath, Paul turns around and said, now I need to warn you about some things. Amen. Look at what he says in verse number 9. He says, but avoid foolish questions. Oh, I don't have time for that because that's not part of my lesson. But I've learned that there's just some things that don't even need to be talked about. Amen. And I've learned to avoid foolish questions. And sometimes you got to avoid, hello, foolish people. Drop down to around about verse number 14 in that same text. Paul says, and let our also learn to maintain good works for necessity, use that they may not, that they be not unfruitful. Okay? And so Paul here, as he writes these words, he writes to encourage the believer and remind the believer that on this time side of life, you must maintain good works. Why? Because someone is always looking at us. Church, we're the light. And the world is looking for us to do what God says. In our lesson text here, when Paul writes these words, he reminds the believer, don't give up, don't lose heart. Paul talks about this very thing as he talks about the how you and I, as God's people, are to maintain our lives. See, I'm learning that in order for us to make heaven our home, you and I must be the example that's so badly needed in a dying world. Amen. I don't expect my grandkids to be educated by the world. Nope. I expect them to be educated by the ones that live in my household. First and foremost, to know who God is and to know who is the author and finisher of their life. Look at what Paul would say to Titus. In Titus chapter 2 and round about verse number 1, Paul says, speak those things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperance, sound in faith, in charity, in patience, that the aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as become holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise, exhort them to be sober-minded. In all these things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptedness, gravity, sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that they that are a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Paul here reminds the believer, you're the example, you're the light. And if there's ever been a time that we need some examples in the world in which we live in, just look around you. We got children that don't know which way to turn. Amen. We got leaders that don't have a clue to what they're doing. Amen. And that's not just talking about the White House. That's talking about every house in America. If there's ever been a time that you and I need to stand up and be counted, look at the world we live in. And the only way we're going to do that is we got to follow what thus saith the Lord. And then we have to understand that the world is not going to change until they see the change in us. You know, I'm learning I cannot tell my grandson nothing unless I do it first. I can't tell him how to behave himself when he see me acting a fool. Amen. And so I'm learning that as a child of God, I must maintain good works. I have to let the word of Christ dwell in me each and every day, daily. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. I have to let the word of Christ dwell in me that when I talk, when I speak, it will be as the oracles of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Yeah, I want you to write these down, and I want you to go home and look at them, because if there's ever been a time If we're not going to lose heart in the process of our Christian walk, you're going to have to do some things to change your everyday life. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and round about verse number 12, he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to doctrine, to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hand of the eldership. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. I don't know about you. I'm learning that it's a difficult task to stay on track. But I'm glad he's given me everything I need to stay on track. Amen. What's the problem? Sometimes I just don't want it. And if you're honest, sometimes you don't want it. Because, see, to stay on track requires something. It requires a total obedience to what God says. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, if any man desire to come after me, let him what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. But the question is, do I feel faint? Do you feel faint this morning? Or have you already started to faint? You need some smelling salts this morning, and guess what? I just stopped by to give you a little bit to help you on your way. See, I'm learning that when I start to feel faint, I'll holler out, and I'll get 911 in a heartbeat because I'm feeling faint. How many of us are feeling faint spiritually? When was the last time you called 911 to Jehovah? Amen. You know, and I like him because he don't reroute nothing. That's right. He don't reroute nothing. He's there if you have a relationship with him. The song says, I will call upon the Lord. When was the last time you called upon him? See, if you're feeling faint, if you're losing heart, you know what? It's going to be difficult for you to reap the harvest. See, just like a farmer understands that he will not reap the harvest until he labors to receive the harvest. The farmer knows that there might be some sleepless nights. The farmer knows that in the midst of storms, he has to nourish and nurture the plant to make sure that he received the harvest. Just like you and I as Christians, we're not going to receive eternal salvation until we nurture some things in our lives. First and foremost, we got to nurture this thing right here. Right. Amen. And I'm learning the more you nurture this thing right here, it's not going to be difficult for you to receive the harvest. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. Jesus understood the importance of nurturing what God commanded him to do. Want to encourage you, don't lose heart. I'm reminded of the psalmist. The psalmist started to lose heart. Oh yeah, when Saul sought after David and he was hiding in them caves, he was just wondering if he was going to make it. But you know, David realized who God was, and he was not afraid to call upon the name of the Lord. And I want you to see this attitude that David had that I don't think we have. Amen. I'm talking about from here all the way to the back door. So I'm going to make sure all of us. But look at what he says. In Psalms 119, in verse number 81, the psalmist said, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hoped is in thy word. My eyes have failed for thy word, saying, when will thou comfort me? I am become like a bottle in smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? Do you hear David crying? Do you hear David becoming a little weary in the process? But in the process of everything that's going on around David, David understands that the word of God stands supreme. How do I know that? Drop down to round about verse number 89. He says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." David understood that the Lord was his shepherd. He wasn't worried about tomorrow because he understood that if he maintained his relationship to God, everything would be all right. And church, and that's the message I want to relay to us, that in the midst of everything that goes on, don't lose heart. Give out, but don't give up. Get a little depressed, but undepress the depressed with the word of God. And I'm learning, church, the more you do that, the more God will help you to overcome many of the obstacles that is in your everyday life. David understood the importance of having God on his side. How about you and I this morning? Sometimes you get weary, don't you? Sometimes you want to throw up both hands. And you know, when something is out of your control, that's the time you call upon the Lord. And when things are in control, that's the time you call upon the Lord. And I want to encourage you and remind you, don't give up, don't give out, but stay focused with the word of God. And the only way you're going to do that is you got to meditate on his word every single day. Amen. Psalms division 1, verses 1 through 6. The psalmist says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law he meditates day and night." And I'm learning that when you stay in this book day and night, you know what God does for you? He pushes you to a higher plateau. So when Satan starts throwing them darts at you, he don't hit you. You just waving because he can't hit you. I want to encourage us, don't get weary in your relationship to God. But that requires a constant diet of the word of God. And Isaiah chapter 40, I want to show you some things that help me when I become somewhat discouraged because of the world in which we live in. The prophet Isaiah would write these words to remind God's people that in the midst of everything that goes on, God still stands supreme. Round about verse number 28, the prophet said, "Has not thou knoweth, has not thou heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not?" Do you know who you serve? If he don't faint, and he goes on to say, "Neither is he weary." That's who I serve. So why should I get bummed out? Why should I get weary? I serve God. And so the prophet here is trying to show God's people, to encourage God's people, that in the midst of everything that goes on, you got a God that don't faint and he does not grow weary. What's our problem? Maybe we just don't know the God that he's talking about. There is no searching of his understanding. Look at what he says in 29. He gives power to the faint. Oh, I wish I had some time, because that's powerful there. Because in the midst of everything you go through, when you think you're weak, God gives you a little more power. When you think you can't handle, he gives you a little more power. And when you think you want to give up, he sends somebody to help you. The prophet here says, he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings of eagle. They shall run and not get weary. And they shall walk and not faint. That's who I serve. That's why I do what I do. Because in the midst of everything that goes on, I have to remind myself, I serve God. And if I serve God, if God be for me, who can be against me? Who can stop me? Nobody but myself. And in conclusion, how do you feel this morning? Feel a little weary? Feel a little peaked? I just stopped by this morning to let you know you don't have to feel that way, because of who we serve and what he's done for us in our everyday life. See, if there's ever been a time you might need to renew your strength, now might be the time. If you ever need to renew your strength, sometimes you need to trust God a little more than what you have been trusting Him. To renew your mind, you need to develop the mind of Christ. And the only way you're going to do that is by getting yourself in the Word of God. What helps us not to faint in a world that is so disarrayed is knowing that the God we serve says heaven and earth will pass away, but not my word. And it is His word that guides us, that directs us. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. The wise man says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. See, I'm learning that the more we trust God, the more we depend on God, in the midst of everything that goes on, we will not grow weary in the process. And when we do have those moments of weariness, and you do, you know who to turn to. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul would write these words to remind the believer. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil days. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching unto with all perseverance for all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance might be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. Verse 20 says, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That's some powerful stuff. To know that in the midst of everything that goes on in a person's life, we're not to grow weary. And when we find weary folk, we got to say the things that will help them out of their weariness. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, as I close. That's the second time. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Paul reminds the believer that nothing can stop us or hinder us but ourselves. Look at what he says. He says, we're troubled on every side, yet not in distress. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many renown to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I'm going to get my crown. I don't know about you. I'm going to make heaven my home. Amen. In the midst of all of my faults and my defects, I serve a God that is able to forgive and remember them no more. Want to encourage you, church. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. If there's ever been a time that you and I need to be more strong in the Word of God, look around you. We have a world that doesn't really believe that there is a God. And that's a sad thing. Because even if he didn't exist, who put all this here? I have a problem with a bang. Amen. Somebody had to do something. I'm not the smartest in the world, but I don't know how you take this wood table and make it a human being. Somebody had to put it together. And so I want to encourage us as the weeks unfold, stay focused, stay on track. And when you find yourself getting a little weary, get some smelling salts, which is the Word of God that is able to help you in the midst of everything you're going through. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ may need a little smelling salts. Well, the smelling salts you might need is to repent. Get yourself right up back on the right track. Those that are visiting that might not be members of the body of Christ, I want to encourage you, you've heard God's word this morning. John chapter 20 and verse number 30. The Bible says many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe, and believing you might have eternal life. The Bible says you got to hear the word, you've heard it. Do you believe it? Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible says you got to repent of your sins, confess his name, and then be buried in water for the remission of sins. And guess what he does? He adds you to the church, which is his body. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. If you're here this morning, whatever your need might be, if you need somebody to pray for, you're in the right place. That's right. Amen. I can pray to God, and I believe God hears the prayers of each and every one of us. If you're here and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing.